good. He is faithful. He is mighty. My sister Pam sent me a brief message, and one of the scriptures that she had shared with me was Revelations 3:11, and it really resonated with me. And I thank God that he's faithful. I thank God that he draws us to him. But in Revelation 3:11, the Bible says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man would take thy crown. I really thought a lot about that. You see, when the disciples heard from the Lord that nation shall rise against nation, earthquakes and all these things, and they looked at the temple and he said, "This temple shall be torn down, and there shall be not one stone left upon another," and they were really shaken by that. And they said, "Lord, tell us when these things shall be." And the Lord looked at them and he says, "Take heed that you be not deceived." You see, we're living in a day of deception. We're living in a day where artificial intelligence and a lot of misinformation is coming to the people. There is a person on my Facebook that is so steeped in hatred. So steeped in hatred because she's listening to the media. I call it the wrong media, but it doesn't matter. And I'm thinking to myself, how that can affect the human soul. I mean, we need to be careful.
Yes.
You know the little song, remember we said, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see." It is so careful. I opened Facebook the other day, and on the home page, I look and there's a half-naked woman. I mean, you know, I think, you know, you can come here, man. I want all. You see, these are the lures that the devil will use. It might be money. I was just reading this morning that one of the financial gurus who teaches finance just got ripped off for $50,000 in a scam. Oh, how many know we got to trust the Lord? It's so easy to be steered astray. It's so easy in the world that we live. But the fact is, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
See, the Bible tells us very clearly that we are to be separated. We are to be sanctified. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor." That's in 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. And so the responsibility for me to be sober, you know, the Bible said in the last day, "Be sober, for you have an adversary, the devil, who will come in and he will corrupt you if he can." And we know there are many ways that it's easy to be corrupted. It may be because we're trying to make sense of our past and hatred begins to dwell within. I'm going to tell you, when you forgive people, the greatest one who will benefit is you. Because when we don't forgive, we are imprisoned by injustices and other things. We've got to release them. Yes. We've got to say, "Lord, I release them, Lord, to you, that I might walk in liberty and walk in freedom." Because there's nothing that entraps us more than the ability to hold on to something, you know, for a long time. I do thank God. I know people can hold grudges. I feel so bad at my wife, I never talked to her again. 2 hours later, kind of fizzles. You know what I mean. I mean, you're good like that. I'm telling you, I'm moving to Florida. I'm not then the Holy Spirit begins to work on you. Come on now, Bob. You know, the Bible said there were, it did not say that anger was a sin. It said, don't, but it said, you're allowed to be angry, just don't sin in your anger. You see what I'm saying? So there are times in our lives that we may be very angry. But the fact is that when we do bad things in our anger, now God said those things are going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. I've shared with you before, and I need to get back on track here, but many years ago, working as a machinist, I was tired. I went and got my wife. She already had a person ready. She'd been home all day. All I wanted was to go home and sit in the recliner. She's out on the porch with baby and purse. We're going shopping. Okay, we'll go shopping. I'm tired. And we head down the window because we lived in Naples. And I pulled into the parking lot of the grocery store. And there were three kids there. And they had bicycles and they blocked off the entrance. And I'm sitting there, you know, come on. And they're giving me the finger. I mean, they're... Yeah, not the Christian finger either. I mean, they're giving me gestures, more or less, and what are you going to do about it? And I don't know what happened to me, but I jumped out of that car, and I ran. I even caught one of the bikes, but the kid ran, jumped over the handlebars and ran off. And I'm there holding a bike, and my wife looks at me and says, now, don't you look stupid. I was so disgusted that I got in the car and drove all the way home and said, you go to the store. I didn't want to see anybody. You ever go through things like that? It's hard in life. But the fact is, aren't you glad that God doesn't say, oh, you're out, buddy?
Right.
You see, that's why I used to think Jesus was like. I used to get saved every Sunday. Every Sunday I came to get saved again because I felt like every time I did wrong, God, enough with you. And that's not our God. He loves us. He knows, and the thing you also need to realize is when you get to that boiling point, you think, oh, Lord, and this comes out of you. You don't expect this going to come out of you. And you think somehow God is shocked. He already knew it was there. In fact, he's the one that turned the heat up. Because that's how you purify metal. If you want metal to be pure, you have to put it under extreme heat. And the more heat and the longer you leave the heat under there, the more pure it's going to become. The impurities come to the top. And they get scraped off. Why? Because we say, Lord, certainly. That's what David said. David had murdered a man. Who would have thought? David never would have thought he would have stooped to such a level. But he had gotten a man's wife pregnant. And he had to conceal, he felt because of his pride that he had to somehow conceal it. So what did he do? He sent Uriah to the front line, which he knew he would die. He did die. Thank God that God brought a prophet to him. How do you know God doesn't give up on us? But I'll tell you what David realized. He said, Lord, search my heart. In other words, I can't trust my heart. You know the Bible says the human heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Do you know your heart, according to the Word of God, is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And that's why we need to always surrender to the examiner. He said, search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And he also said this, but he said, Father, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. When I read the Old Testament, I realize the folly of man. Whether it be Moses, who struck the rock, or be Abraham, who lied about his wife, or you look down through and you see that what we learn from the Old Testament is how that there was a process of sanctification in their life, there was a growth in their life, and yet God stayed with them. How many times did Israel fail him? But yet he was with them. Yet he always made a way for them. How many know he makes a way for you and me? He's the way maker. We never have to say, you know, I wouldn't blame the Lord if he didn't even look at me again. But the fact of it is, he said, it doesn't matter. That's not my heart. My heart is for you. My heart is that you would be able to make it. You see, sanctification is a theological word. It is hagnizo. Now, hagnizo is a Koine Greek word. It means we've gone all the way back to the original, and we're interpreting it for ourselves. And it means to separate or to set apart. Didn't the Bible say this? Didn't he say, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the wicked thing, and I will receive you? You see, the thing we need to understand, what did Paul say? He said, if a man thinketh he stand, let him what? Take heed, and lest he fall. It doesn't matter who you are. Paul, the chiefest of apostles, he said himself. He said, but yet, he said, I do not preach as if I've already attained. I know this one thing, life is a process. And I'm not preaching as if I've made it. I just know this one thing, and that's why I need you, and that's why you need me, and that's why we need the Word, that's why we need the Spirit, that's why we need Jesus. Because He is able to bring sense to the confusion. It's so easy to get confused. It's so easy to allow the enemy to come in. Let me tell you something about the enemy. The enemy plays a perfect violin. You know, the enemy's there with the hanky. He's the one who says, oh, I understand how you feel. You know, I know the boys, they don't love you. I know this and the girls. I know you've had a hard life. Nobody seems to understand you. But I do. See how subtle the devil can be. It's not that he loves you. In fact, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you in misery. But the fact of it is we have to say, devil, get your violin and get out of here. I'm done crying over myself. I want to be victorious in the Lord. Hallelujah. Sanctification, defined by Nelson's Bible Dictionary, is the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness. I believe that sanctification is in a moment, and it takes a lifetime. In a moment that Jesus shed his blood, that we might be sanctified unto the Lord. In a lifetime is that as we grow in the Lord, and we go through the things that sometimes beset us, that we learn from those things. Peter learned, didn't he? Do you know that Judas and Peter both denied Christ? What's the difference? Judas, filled with pride, went out and hung himself. But Peter, filled with sorrow, came to the feet of the Lord and said, God, forgive me. See, that's a posture of humility. Lord, I've blown it. Lord, I've made mistakes. Lord, when you needed me most, I forsook you. Peter became such a great apostle that even it's recorded that people were healed in his shadow. How powerful. But what God is saying to you is when you're weak, he said, I am strong. When you go through doubt and you begin to look at yourself, how many of you have looked in the mirror and looked at yourself and said, what's wrong with you? Anybody that's honest has done that. Why? We say, how hard is it to do what I told you to do? Then we remember God. Uh-oh, that's right. And that's what God's saying to us. How hard is it to do what I've called you to do? Well, I know, but I've got flesh. flesh that wants to live. That's why the Bible says that we need to bring our flesh to the altar and allow it to die. To die to feelings. Because they can surely deceive us at times. We look at the influence of leaven. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, therefore purge out the old leaven. Now we understand in typology that leaven is talking about sin. That you may be a new lump. Some of us feel like lumps. Since you truly are unleavened, he says here, he said, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now we're talking about communion. We're talking about the unleavened bread that we take when we break bread together. All of that has to do with the sinless sacrifice of the Lord, and that he became our Passover sin. And so we should become the offspring of unleavened bread. In relationship, the relationship is worth the effort. How many know there's an effort in relationship? If you don't know that, you haven't been married. Not easy. I love my wife. And, you know, she's right 80% of the time. Give you 100%. I want to have a good day. No, I'm just joking. But what we realize in this is that relationship is not easy. It can have disappointment. It can have friction. It can have difficulties. But if we will commit in relationship. They say today that divorce, even among Christians, is just as much as it is in the world. What we realize in that is that divorce is when we give up on the battle. And I'll tell you this right now, it's worth the fight. You know, there's an old saying that grass is greener on the other side. But I will tell you this right now, there's nothing like, and I think of Christine, 43 years. Was it always rosy and wonderful? Of course not. That's what life is like. It can be difficult. But the fact of it is relationship is worth the effort. I think those three beautiful boys. That's a hardship, to have children, to raise those children. You know, that's sacrifice. Yeah. And then when they're teenagers, to tell you that you did nothing for them. That's painful. See, a baby is probably the most selfish human being in the world. Oh, they're loving, of course. They're peachy. But they can care less how much sleep you get. They can care less about the sacrifice. They're hungry. It might be 2 in the morning. I remember one time my wife walked, she walked into the closet. She got lost. She was so tired. But every night, she always took care of Ben, and every night she would do what she needed to do. And then we had Rebecca, and she cried in the middle of the night, and my wife went, that's not a man's thing to do. Your turn. But you have to realize in all of this is the sacrifice. If you don't make sacrifices, you're not going to have any reward. How many know that we need to make sacrifices in our relationship with Jesus?
Yes.
Just as we do in our marriage. We have to make sacrifices. What did Jesus himself say? He said, he said that, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done in Gethsemane. He had to sacrifice. He said, Father, if it be possible, he said, let this cup pass me. He understood what the cup meant. He understood the agony that he'd have to endure. He had to realize that the Father, for the first time in eternity was going to turn his back completely on Jesus? But yet, he was willing at that point to say, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we have to realize. There's a sacrifice. The Bible says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. You see, we can't have Christianity without sacrifice. I know there's modern religion today that tells you that you don't need to sacrifice anything. I have known people who feel that because they have certain liberties that they can just indulge in those liberties, but where does that end them? In 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do I know that I fear God? Because I obey. See, the lack of obedience shows the lack of fear. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. How do I know he's holy? He's mighty. He's righteous. In 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore come up among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What is he saying there? What he's saying is, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
That's right.
What he's saying there is that if you ever want to stand before me, you need to purge yourself of the things that will be consumed. How many know the Bible said, I don't know if you know this, but heaven is going to be hotter than hell because of the glory of God. The Bible said flesh would be consumed in a moment. Even when Moses prayed to see him, he said he let him see his hinder side because he would have been consumed by the very glory and the presence of God. But the fact of it is we're going to have new bodies. Yes. I believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through that fiery furnace went through it with the new body.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus was there in the midst of the fire with them. And what we need to understand in that is God didn't tell us these things because he wants to trip us up or because he's mad or anything like that. He's letting us, let me tell you what, I am holy. I am that I am. And all that want to be with me need to go through a preparation. You know that the high priest, before he went into the Holy of Holies, had to sanctify himself for 7 days. And do you know that they would tie a rope on his ankle and he had bells on the bottoms of his skirt, and when he went in there, if the bell stopped ringing, they knew they had to pull him out. Now, there's never an instance in the Bible where a priest was consumed and needed to be pulled back out of the Holy of Holies, because I think the fear of the Lord was there, and they realized just how serious this was to go into the Holy of Holies. Aren't you glad that Jesus rent the veil that we all can go in? But what the Lord is saying is that we need to separate ourselves from the things and the wickedness of this world.
Right.
You see, you know what's going on in our country? What's going on in our country is the fact that immorality is beginning to reign.
Yes.
The spirit of Moloch and abortion, all of that is reigning in our nation. And it's getting more prevalent. It's becoming more and more. But the thing is that we need to be a peculiar people. What does it mean to be peculiar? To be at odds with the world. To stand for what is right. And I'll tell you, the church needs to do that. I'll tell you, if there's ever any hope for America, it is because we have taught the people how to live. God is a holy God. You see, the promise of the continued relationship in 1 John 3:3, it says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let me share something. I think a lot of people, they struggle with things, and somehow they feel that they have no responsibility to the things they struggle with. They just say, that's just the way I am. But what God is saying is, you've got to put a dog in this fight. You've got to be willing to resist. The Bible said, resist the devil, and he'll what? He'll flee from you. The word resist there talks about literally wrestling. It talks about wrestling. We wrestle with the devil. We resist him. We say, no, devil, I'm not going to allow
Amen.
That.
Amen.
And the Bible said, if you will continually do that, it will lead you.
Mm-hmm.
It will. But it takes determination to overcome. So we understand in 1 Peter 1:22, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Because there's a love in the world that isn't fervent, it isn't whole, it isn't real. I have young people who come to me, well, you know, I fell out of love. And I'm saying, is love a tree? Did you climb some love tree? And what did the wind come and knock you out of it? The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that means? God chose to love. You know, love is a choice. It's not a feeling. You can choose to love somebody even when you don't feel it. I don't want to diminish feelings. I love feelings. But let me tell you something about feelings. They can change. You know, all of a sudden you get mad at somebody, and all of a sudden they send you a $100 check. Oh, aren't they sweet?
Like, you know.
See how quickly emotions change?
That's
why we can't allow emotions to control our commitments, because love is a commitment. It is a choice.
That's right.
It's not a tree. But when we look at this word sanctification, I'm going to 3 points and I'm going to be done here. The first thing about sanctification is the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 13:12, it said, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. That's the, I have been sanctified. That's the finished work of Christ. That he sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Remember he said to the woman, he said, touch me not, I haven't yet gone to the Father. He had not yet fulfilled his priestly duties. That he would rise again from the grave and in heaven. How many know that everything that's on earth is just a copy of what's in heaven? And he went into heaven, into the heavenly tabernacle, and there upon the mercy seat, he sprinkled his blood as the high priest. After what? After the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
We get into that. It's a deep subject, and I love it. In Hebrews 10:10, he said, by that will we have been sanctified, remember past tense, through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. In other words, God has done it. But he's not only done it for me, he's done it for my unsaved neighbor.
Amen.
But my unsaved neighbor may reject the finished work that he has for him. Amen. But he has done it. In Hebrews 10:14, it says, For one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. No, wait a minute. It just said he was sanctified. Now that I'm being sanctified, I don't understand. How can this thing go from one verse to another and say something kind of different? on what he's saying. He said, I have finished the work. It is finished. He said, now there's a work for you. Well, sometimes people hate that. What do you mean? There's a work for me. Well, Bob said, if you don't work, you had not to eat. There's a work for you. And what is that work? It's to please him. It's to obey him. It's to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking. Oh, you'll make mistakes. You know, you'll make mistakes. And we understand, and God understands that, but he's merciful and he's loving. So we ask ourselves, why is it all necessary? The ultimate defeat of Satan. He does not understand grace, I want you to know. If he did understand grace, he never would have been involved in the crucifixion of Christ. But the fact of it is that it seals Satan's coffin. The next thing we realize is the blood of Christ, but also the continual washing of the Word of God. I've heard people say, well, I want you to know, I don't read the Bible because I can't remember it. Or I don't retain it. And I say this, well, you took a shower, hopefully, this morning. Did you retain all the water? No, but it cleansed you. You see, the Word of God will cleanse you if you will continually hear the Word of God. You know, when you're driving, how many hours you spend in your car that could be a time to hear the Word of God while you're in the car? How many hours do we waste that we could use it to the washing and the regeneration of the Word? You see, we become weak when we're malnourished. And the fact of it is it's up to us. How many have ever had, maybe you've had a teenager who come to you and said, what's to eat? There's nothing to eat. And you look and the refrigerator is full. Nothing to eat. I remember years ago, my son, we were looking at a bird feeder. And it was in the late spring. And this bird showed up. And he was he looked full grown. But he just stood there. And then Mama called him, she didn't put it in his mouth. And I remember Ben, because he was still living at home, he said, it's kind of like me and his dad. Amen. I love my son. It's good that he was honest. He saw something in that. Wait a minute. Even nature can teach us things. But the fact of it is how often we depend upon the sermon on Sunday and then we don't grow ourselves during the week. We don't allow the Word of God to have His will and His way in us. You're going to die of malnutrition if you're only eating one meal on Sunday morning. We need to be able to say, Lord, I want your Word. So we look at the continual washing in Psalms 119 and 9. How can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? How can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of the Lord. We need to continue to be in the word. I just did another college class, and I got an A. I was top of my class. I was the only one in my class as well. Somebody said, well, then you're at the bottom. I said, I don't look at it that way. But the fact of it is that they said, at your age? Why are you taking a class? Why? Because I love the Word and because I want the Word to become so real in my life that I would discipline myself. Let me tell you what. Halfway through the class, I was kind of dreading it a little. Because the instructor that we had was very difficult on his test. But you know what? Got through it. Why? Because it's necessary. John 17, 17, and I'm almost done. Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth. And Hebrews 4, 12, it said, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want to know whether your thoughts are right or not? Get in the word of God.
Right.
It'll separate what's pure and what isn't. There's no other way. I've had people come and say, Pastor, what do you think? I said, why? You don't like what the Holy Spirit told you? So often it's true, isn't it? You know, we cry out to God, and God says this, and I'm going to go ask the pastor, this is scary. When the Holy Spirit in us is able to, he said, you need no man that any man teach you, for the Spirit of the Lord will guide you and lead you and teach you. It doesn't do away with the office of a teacher. But what it's saying is no excuse. Yeah. Holy Spirit will be with you. And I've seen people that, you know, they go their own way for you. You know what I say? Let them go. The Holy Spirit will chase them. Holy Spirit will finish and do the work. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it's about, okay, and I'm going to talk next about, you see, the blood of Christ, and then the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it said, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. I don't understand predestination. One person says this and one person says that. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things. How about the Trinity? How do you understand that? But you know what? I know him. I trust him. I know that his word is true. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, two more verses. Romans 8, 3, 4, it said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Wow. I just want God to do it all. I don't want to work. You know, I want the easy way.
No,
you see, I in my office, I used to have my wife took it away from me, but I had a magic wand. And when they come in, I said, well, there's two methods. And I take the wand the easy way. Well, we can look into the scripture and begin the labor. And I said, you can't do that anymore. She took my wand away. I said, okay. That's great. But what are we hearing in that? So I'm going to finish up with one more verse of Scripture. Acts 20 and 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. Isn't that wonderful? So we realize in life that we go through difficulty, but we trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he loving? Don't you
yes.
feel that loving
Amen.
Spirit? There was nothing condemning about what I had to say. It was all to say, this word I've given to you, that you can be one, even as we are one, that you could live in eternity. You know the angels? They look at the human. You know that the human, though he's made a little lower than the angels, is going to be in a higher place than the angels. You know, the angels aren't married to God, but we will be. You want to thank God that you're human. You ought to thank God that from the beginning he chose you to be of that class of that he wants to embrace and to marry.
Yes.
And to be with him and to be like him and never to be separated from him. That's what it's all about. And that's what we need to realize. And we need to say, Lord, help me. Lord God, help me to have the stamina to say, Lord, I'm committed to you. Would you all stand with me, please, here this morning? So many people, they hide the word because they're afraid it's too hard for the hearer. I'm going to tell you this right now. There's not a greater injustice than to hide the answer from those that we love. To speak the truth is painful. Sometimes it's maybe in their ears. Because I want you to understand something. It's a tragic thing to leave this world and not know Jesus. Because whether you know it or not, you're going to live eternally somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're either going to die eternally or you're going to live eternally. But we get to choose through the power and the Spirit of the Lord. So let us, I pray today, be willing to say, Lord, I'm committed to you. Lord, I might have gone through things that I don't understand. I might have felt there's a lot of injustice in my life. I might have a lot of sorrow. And I'll tell you, I think anybody that lives this life will have.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord, I trust you. Whether it's broken relationships, lost loved ones, committed to him. Isn't that wonderful? And you know something? Jesus said, not one that you've given me, Father, have I lost. How many know it's true today?
Amen.
He loves you, and that's why you're here today. Because he loves you. Let's bow our heads, if we would, in closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share the word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your son that died on the cross. We thank you that heaven was bankrupt that we might have love and life and liberty. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done. We thank you that you're the living word and that we can eat of that word. He said, bless you, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Lord God, this word bled and died. Jesus, you said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And you were speaking of every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Lord, we have this holy writ here, this holy book. And Lord, it is the word of God. And we thank you for it, Lord. Let us eat it. Let us devour it, Lord God, and allow it to give us the life that we so desire, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.